Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, welcome to Unnecessary Roughness, Barstool's college football podcast, brought to you by the...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, it is just the boys today. I want to say this might be the first time this has ever happened.
I think it would. Yeah, first time. I can't think. It has to be.
It's just the boys just kicking it, man. The ladies are gone. They're out. We can just kick back, take our shoes off, our pants off, whatever. I don't care how you want to celebrate boys' night.
Yeah, it's just dudes. It's the dudes episode.
We're just dudes being dudes. And with that, I'd like to tell you the third dude that's going to join us in a minute. And I've we haven't done a lot of interviews here. Hopefully in the offseason we get to open that up and find, you know, get that lane a little bit, because that's something that we definitely need to do. But today, we have former Iowa Hawkeye player and current WWE champion Big E joining us for about 30 minutes of just pure-ass college football talk. So I promise you, if you rolled your eyes there, you're like, I'm not a wrestling fan. I don't care about that stuff. Get that out of your head. Get that out of your mind, because I've already talked to him, and this is just straight college football, and he's just rapping college football with me like we talk about anything else. Jack, you agree with him?
As a wrestling fan and knowing the wrestling culture, you guys didn't talk about anything wrestling related outside of some names, but you'll know the names, everybody. Like, it's not like Brandon, this isn't a wrestling podcast. This was pure college football. And the interview was, I had a lot of fun listening to it. You're going to want to stick around.
So we got 30 minutes with Big E coming up. Casey and Katie aren't here. Katie, on the road for holidays. She's, you know, in this state, that state, wherever she is. She couldn't make it today. And we planned for them not to be here because we were going to do the interview anyway. And Casey's down bad. Casey's got the COVID. Casey has a football team that ain't playing no more. She's down bad.
I mean, I'm not saying that she went out of her quarantine, but she could have been the super spreader down in A&M too. You never know. I know she's been in New York City, but who knows?
I'm not agreeing with you. All I'm saying is Casey got COVID. Then A&M quit their bowl game because of COVID. That's all I'm saying. That's all we're saying. They're probably unrelated.
But it was Casey started it. Like, it was, she was the first domino to fall. I think they had zero cases when Casey got it.
I just, we're laughing through the pain here because this is A&M and whatever. We can mess with Casey that they're not playing a bowl game, but we got a lot of bowl games in the balance here. We got a lot of bowl games to play, including a bowl in Arizona that we're a part of. We got the playoffs coming up, and now we've dropped these new playoff rules where, hey, if three teams get it, one team still standing can be the national champion. What in the world is this?
That dropped like 30 minutes before you did the interview. And I was reading it. And I did the, like, you know, that gif of the guy that kind of looks like Lane Kiffin, where he's like.
Yeah.
I was like.
That guy does kind of look like Kiffin.
The possibilities that this and they're real, too. I mean, we see what's going on in the NBA, NHL. NFL games are getting canceled, and it seems as if the college football players isn't saying no, we'll postpone it. They're like, no, if you can't play, it's over.
My problem with this is, why do we have the hard and fast non-postpone rules? Why couldn't they postpone a week? Why couldn't they postpone the national championship game a week? What? This is not nuclear secrets here. We could move a football game a week if we needed to.
I mean, the NFL, which is just like, I mean, has more fans or just as many, they moved it. And I know that they're professionals, but these kids aren't in class right now either. They're all on break. And also, it's a national championship. This isn't like some random game that's like, oh, we can just cancel it. Like, what are we supposed to do? If three guys get it, then it's just like, oh, Cincinnati's our national champion. Like,
so I've thought about this. The worst result would definitely be Alabama just getting given a national championship. But two results are hilarious. Cincinnati, the other three getting COVID and Cincinnati being declared champion would be absolutely hysterical and funny and great. But Georgia winning its first national title in 40 years because of a COVID outbreak, because you know there'll be like 5 minutes where they're like humble and they do this, and it's not that big of a deal, you know, whatever. About a week later, you're going to see billboards in Atlanta. You're going to see Kirby Smart starting doing speech. We were going to win it anyway. You know, you'd see Georgia come out of their shell with their new national title.
We were talking about it before we started on the podcast. And I was like, how would Georgia handle it? Georgia would go all out. Bama, I think, wouldn't even – they'd acknowledge it. Their fans would say, we're at 19 or whatever.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. There's no better program or fan base in the country than claiming fake national titles in Alabama.
Where would this rank? Let's say three teams get it, God forbid. And Bama wins the national championship by default. Where does that rank among their fake championships? Like, is it – how fake?
I don't think it'd be top three.
There's probably ones that they weren't even in the top 10.
Dude, they claim one when they finished number 20 in the AP poll. They claim 1941, they finished 20 in the AP poll, they claim the national title.
At least this one, they beat Georgia like a few weeks ago. It's like, okay. But that's almost it would not be their fakest national championship ever for Bama. It would be – that's probably the most likely scenario if – three teams were to get it. Bama's going to somehow not.
God, it would suck though. I just hope because I know this fucking outbreak, man, it's the way it's spreading. Like, it's going to get to Alabama and Georgia in about a week and a half. Like right when we're supposed to play these playoffs. I hope they're taking care of everything. I don't want to think worst case scenario because we've had a good college football season. Let's just think positive. We're going to have a playoff. We're going to have an Arizona Bowl. Everything's going to be good, Jack. Can we at least think like that for right now?
Yeah. I'm not concerned yet, but it's higher than last week.
Well, the one good thing is when A&M did have to pull out, like the bowls didn't say, or NCAA didn't say, all right, no Gator Bowl, canceled. They're like looking, all right, we're going to take a 5-7 team, or we're going to take somebody that's already played. Like, they're looking for a replacement. They're not saying the bowl's just off. So, yeah, the bowl's probably just off. That is probably going to happen, but we'll see. We'll see. All right.
That would be like – who finished 5-6? Notre Dame.
Rutgers. And... TJ's already texted me. Rutgers.
No.
Oh, I meant 5-6. I meant they're looking, Texas A&M Gator Bowl, they're looking for 5-7 teams that didn't quite make it.
I was wondering if, like, let if they're, they.
Oh, yeah. I like where your head's at, too.
Of a scenario where 3-4 go out, and then you're like, hey, Notre Dame, like, you're in.
Not even Notre Dame. What if Georgia pulls out, right? Georgia and Cincinnati pull out. And then Michigan shows up. They got to have a playoff opponent. And Ohio State just rolls in. All right, playoffs again. No, fuck that.
I don't think Michigan would play. Because I think they know deep down, like,
that would be. They got their win over them. They own bragging rights. But you wouldn't want to have to do it again.
No.
What else we got in college football? There's not a whole lot here. We got a great interview coming up with Big E that we would get to shortly. Otherwise, just the boys talking college football. We'll have Casey's full reaction next time. She'll be back next time. We'll do our year-end awards next time. So we're going to have a full show next time. This time was just kind of, again, we got a 35-minute interview coming up. So what else we got, Jack?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, like, Keaton Slovis is going to Pittsburgh.
These transfer quarterbacks are just, it's like they're drawing schools out of a hat.
Yeah. And it seems like all of them are just going to where their girlfriends go. Adrian Martinez is going to Kansas State. His girlfriend plays on a team. That's why he went there. Keaton Slovis is going to Pittsburgh because his girlfriend plays at Pitt.
There comes Shaq knowing where everybody's girlfriend is.
But if you want to see where a quarterback's transferring, just see where his girlfriend plays soccer. That's where we're at in the transfer portal world. Oh, and then Alabama got richer again with
Kayshon Boutte.
No. Wait, Kayshon said?
Didn't they get Kayshon too? Didn't they? No. They didn't?
They got Gibbs last night, the running back from Georgia Tech, who may have been the best running back in one of the top 10 quarter running backs in the nation. Then they got Ricks. They got Boutte too.
Well, it came out last week that he was going to Alabama, but it turned out to be a false report. But most people think he is, in fact, going to go to Alabama.
So they just picked up. So Texas A&M may be the number one class, but A&M's class or Bama's class is number one because they just picked up 3 5 stars that are immediately ready to play.
Immediately ready players, tomorrow. Which is it's a new world in college football. Like, and frankly, it works both ways because my team is getting like there's runoff into the top of Alabama, but you can't take in players without losing players. Like we're getting a guy who was a 4-star defensive back, Jeremy Banks, who's leaving Alabama because Kool-Aid McKinstry is not going to give up that spot. So, like, Alabama's going to give and Alabama's going to take.
Yeah, so it is – I haven't thought of the trickle-down effect of it, but that is probably good for all of – like, and those players get to play a little bit more. Not that it's, like, bad to be a backup at Alabama, but, yeah, no. And I did see you guys picked out that defensive back, and I'm sure there's other examples. I just – the fact that they're going to pick up those three and then they get back Bryce Young, they get back Will Anderson. Like,
yeah, it turns out Alabama's going to be good again. So here's what we're going to do. Let's tweet out on Thursday what was your favorite moment of the college football season. And when we come back to do the show on Sunday to record, we'll have my year in awards, your year in awards, and then the fans will also have their own segment. So we can have a full Twitter thread of that. So we'll have that. You can go ahead and participate. Other than that, Jack, I think I'm just going to transition on into Big E.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Big E is, if for those of you who don't know it, he played at the University of Iowa. He's from Tampa. He played at the University of Iowa, a defensive lineman, back in 2006. He redshirted there a year, and then he played there a year, and then he moved on to a powerlifting career. He ended up getting professional wrestling about 10, 15 years ago and has risen to the top. And he is a gigantic advocate of college football. In fact, you're going to find out how big of a fan here because that's really all he wants to talk about is college football. And he is a fascinating guy, one of the funniest guys on the planet, one of the most interesting guys on the planet. And he's on the show right now. Let's go to that interview with WWE champion and former Iowa Hawkeye. And yes, I did ask for forgiveness. Big E.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, next on Unnecessary Roughness. We don't usually do this. We don't have a lot of guests here on the College Football Podcast, but it's a new day. Yes, it is. I'm so effing excited because today we have got a former college football player, 2006 Iowa Hawkeyes, and right now, currently, if you look on Raw, if you look in any WWE programming, you see this guy on top of the wrestling business. His name is Big E, the WWE champion. Big E, welcome to Unnecessary Roughness.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. You didn't mention all the Iowa slander that you opened up with before we started recording, so if you can apologize for that, I'd appreciate that.
Buddy, you have no idea the half of the Iowa slander I've been dealt with in my life. We're going to talk about Iowa in just a minute. Trust me, it's going to get deep. And thank you for showing up. And you're in the biggest Hawkeyes I've ever seen. That looks like a highway billboard.
Look, I wanted to make sure it was visible. I wanted to make sure it was clear. So yeah, this is actually the 2016, this is the year the Rose Bowl shirt when they played Stanford. Let's not really focus on the result of that game. Right. It was ugly. Let's just say that Christian McCaffrey ran up and down on us, but we got to the Rose Bowl, and that's what we should focus on.
Can we just talk real quick? I mean, you're WWE champion. You've come a long way, and you're wearing a 2016 shirt. You can't get a 2021. I mean, you told me yourself you guys won 10 games.
We did win 10 games. Look, I have 2021 shirts as well. I have shirts to commemorate this incredible season in which we did win 10 games. Thank you very much. And we have the potential of winning an 11th against Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. So
you – okay. I said it before. I'll say it now. You kind of won 10 games. Like, yeah, you technically won 10 games. But Penn State, they had to start backup for half that game. That didn't really count. We're counting that.
This is football. Injuries galore. This is a part of the game. Look, this is something that we all have to deal with. So that definitely counts. It's a solid 10 wins, and I appreciate you. I would appreciate you more if you would acknowledge all of those 10 hard-fought wins. Penn State, mind you, was number 3 in the country at the time. Number 3 in the country. That's a huge win.
You guys were number 2 at the time too. So that
we were.
All jokes aside,
how don't you do it? Don't you, that number 2? People could feel how they want to feel about the number 2 at the time, though. It was rightfully earned. Look, let me just enjoy the good parts of the season.
I was going to say, all jokes aside, that was a hell of a first 6 weeks. You get to number 2 in the country. You beat Iowa State. You beat Penn State. Like, that was a hell of a 6 weeks. A lot of fan bases don't get to enjoy that kind of success. But then you got mad at me and you cut me off. I didn't get to say all the nice things.
So I'm the problem. It's right? My fault. I'm the one to be blamed. Okay.
So, listen, there's some things you don't know about me. Hey, I interviewed you before. A month ago, I interviewed you for wrestling. I don't know if you remember that. It was before Survivor Series.
Of course, I recall.
Really? What's my name?
Brandon.
Okay, that's pretty right. Anyway, I interviewed you back then, but now we're talking about college football because we got you, the WWE champion, played at Iowa. You're wearing the Hawkeyes gear. Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, he played at Georgia Tech. You got Baron Corbin, played a lot of college football. Do you guys have heated discussions backstage? Is there like some hidden animosities with college football? Do y'all get into it?
We'll mention it from time to time. But I mean, here's the issue. Corbin played at a smaller school, so it's not like we go head-to-head at all. And the problem is Georgia Tech, they've been pretty terrible as of late. So Roman doesn't really have much to talk about as far as Georgia Tech being any good. You know, the nice thing is we have other guys too, like AJ Styles is a big Georgia fan, even though he didn't play football at Georgia. But so we'll talk some. I talked to AJ a lot about this. It was a magical season. I thought Georgia was en route to just running through everybody. I was expecting another, you know, like a 21-10 type win over Bama in the SEC title game. And I was expecting Georgia to walk in as the number one seed, dominant defense, and they slipped a bit. So yeah, I like talking college football with AJ.
Well, good. We're going to talk college football right here because you just went into the playoff, and I was the exact same way. I know AJ, he's from Gainesville, Georgia. He's a huge Georgia fan, but I thought Georgia was going to show up in Atlanta. They were going to handle their business against Alabama, and then we're going to go whip two Rudy Poos in the playoff and win their national championship, and that didn't happen. But, Big E, here's my thing. Just because it happened once doesn't mean it's going to happen again. You work in a sport where rematches happen all the time, right?
They do, yes.
And there's going to be a rematch possibly down the road, and I think just because Alabama killed them the first time, that doesn't mean that's necessarily going to happen again. I think Georgia's still going to win the national title is what I'm trying to say.
I think that's a fair bet, although, man, Michigan's playing their best football, although I would say Michigan's strength, I think, is running the football. And against that defensive line, that's going to be a difficult task. But, you know, I tend to think that we will see Bama and Georgia again, but that Georgia-Michigan game, I think it's going to be a close one.
My point about Michigan is, and they beat Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. They beat Ohio State. They beat they got it going down the stretch. Their last three games were their best three games, and I think this month break hurts them more than it hurts everybody else because they were just getting rolling. They were like getting right into the meat. They were getting right at their peak form, and then they had to stop a month for this break. I think they're going to be affected more than anybody. You're a football player. Am I crazy with that?
No, I definitely think there's something to having a rhythm. I think the break can help you if you need to get healthy. There's also the stuff with COVID. So, I mean, there's a lot that I'm not aware of with, you know, getting guys healthy and available for the playoff. But I do think there is something to, man, like having a bye week is nice. But they're going to end up having, what, 3 or 4 bye weeks in a row. That's a long time to be off and then to be sharp again for a playoff game. So I'm intrigued to see how the layoff is handled by each squad.
Okay, now me and you, we go way back. We've got two interviews now. We're practically, best friends. Okay, so it's about to get personal for a second. Are you ready?
Hit me.
You are an Iowa fan. You played at Iowa.
I did.
I am a Mississippi State Bulldogs fan. Okay. That's okay. That's your reaction to that. No reaction whatsoever.
Well, I thought there was going to be more.
There is. There's a lot more, Biggie. There's a lot more. We were number one in 2014. Dak Prescott. Ever heard of him? Of course you have.
Yep.
I need you to help me with Iowa, Biggie. You don't know this about me, but Iowa fans hate me. They detest me. They think I'm the worst person in the world.
Probably rightfully so. But continue.
So if you recall, in the Outback Bowl in 2018 season, Mississippi State played the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yes, and lost.
In Tampa. And you're lost. Familiar with Tampa, right?
That's where I'm from, born and raised. Yeah, I actually think I was on the road that day, or I would have been there. But yeah, it couldn't be.
Yeah, okay, Biggie, I was there. I was in the stands, and I was doing a Mississippi State post game. And in the post game, I got very mad and said a lot of things, and I was crying to my audience, and I was saying, we just got beat by the slowest team I've ever seen. We just got beat by the whitest team I've ever seen. And I said all these things, and Iowa fans tore me up. They hate me to this day. And can you fix that?
You've really given me no reason to want to fix that. So I don't know why you would. But you guys at the time, you had Montez Sweat, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had your defense. You had another first rounder.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Simmons, yes. And you guys had a DB who went high in the draft as well.
Jonathan Abram, who played for the Oakland Raiders. Not the Las Vegas Raiders. Right.
So what happened? Sorry, Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. What happened then?
So we showed up to – so here's what happened. So Tampa, as you know – we lost 27 to 22. We gave up 27 points despite giving up like 130 yards of offense. I don't know how it happened. We lost the football game. It's fine. Iowa beat us.
Right. That's what we do. We might not run up and down the field on you. We might do it with like legitimately 130. We might have had 67 yards of passing for all I know. Like that's the Iowa way. Just get the dub.
You're not going to help me with Iowa fans, are you?
Never. Are you one of those cowbell people too? Did you come down to Tampa with a cowbell?
Do you want one?
I really don't. I don't.
Okay.
I did.
I had a show called More Cowbell. That was literally the name of my show before I got to Barstool. That's how I got famous. And I have two cowbells at my desk, but yes, I'm a big cowbell guy.
Did you bring one to Tampa for the Outback Bowl?
No, I brought two. One for me and one for my daughter.
And you used it.
No, we didn't. I don't like. I'm not a big cowbell guy in the stadium. I like them for decorations. They make an office look fantastic.
Okay, I can get jiggy to that. I'm not a. It's a cool home environment, I suppose, but it's a bit of a nuisance if we're being honest, is it not?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a nuisance. It's not supposed to be. Oh, I love playing against those cowbells. It's supposed to be like those. I hate those cowbells. I want to lose the game now. That's what it's supposed to be.
No, but when I watch a game on TV and I see the home team, they're making a lot of noise. That's cool. That I can get into. That, you know, that I can sink my teeth into. The cowbell, it's not audibly pleasant, is my point. And God bless all you Mississippi State fans, but it's not something that I'm trying to hear for three and a half hours. That's my only point.
You rose to being the WWE champion by doing this.
Not for three and a half hours, sir.
Forever. You did that forever. That's not audibly pleasant either. Well, yeah.
It's a couple minutes a night. That's all. You could put up with a couple minutes a night.
So you in your wrestling character, you in New Day, you like to do your dances, you know, and swivel your hips and stuff.
That's right.
If you played football today and you scored a touchdown, do you think you would have broken out the New Day dances before?
Oh, that is a great question. You know, I was pretty stoic when I was a player, but now things have changed. You know, now that we have NIL, it's important. You got to market yourself. You got to get out there. Right. You got to brand yourself. You got to be a character if you're trying to make any money. So yeah, I think I would have had to embrace the hip swiveling of some sort. But I'm into, we need more freedom in college football with celebrations. I just want it to be.
Is there a law at Iowa football that you have to be stoic to play there? Because I feel like that's a stoic program.
That's the Iowa way. It's stoicism. Right. That's what we do there. Is you put your head down, you work hard, and look. I think there's something to that. Look, you know, that's just, you know, people talk often about players and a team modeling themselves after the personality of their coach, and you know, Coach Ferentz, especially when you've been there since 1999. Right. I think there's something to that. And I think it's also just kind of how people in Iowa are. Some of the kindest, warmest people, but there's just something to that work ethic of you put your head down, you don't complain, you don't gripe, you do your work, and you wake up the next day and do the same. So I think it all is in line with the community, with our head coach, Coach Ferentz, and yeah, that's the Iowa way. I will say there are a few guys though that I played with. I don't know if you remember Matt Roth from back in the day, but sure. he is quite the character and definitely not a stoic man. But we've had some characters along the way.
I mean, I'm pretty sure George Kittle, right?
Oh, Kittle's but I don't think you saw, or maybe I wasn't paying enough attention, but you didn't really see a lot of that while he was at Iowa. Once he got to the league, then you got to see more of his personality. But yeah, he's a huge.
So for 3 and 4 years, you guys are stoic, and then you graduate from Iowa, you leave Iowa, and boom, you just turn into whatever you're going to be the whole time.
That was the route for me and Kittle. So that was the plan, I guess.
So my question is this, because I know all about your wrestling career. We've talked about it a lot, and this is a college football show, but how did a guy from Tampa end up being at the University of Iowa? I don't know that answer.
So it's a bit of a boring story, but I only played 1 year of high school football, and that was my senior year. And so I went to a prep school years before. Football was always my first love, but I went to a prep school that didn't offer football. So finally, it just became too expensive, and I transferred to Wharton High School in Tampa in 2003. And mind you, I'm playing defensive tackle for one season. For most people, if you're into recruiting at all, most people know your junior year is typically your more crucial year. By the time you get to your senior year, it's kind of too late for a lot of guys. So for me, I'm trying to play defensive tackle. I played at 5'11", about 235 pounds. So, it was slim pickings as far as offers were concerned for a while. But the way it worked is when I was at Wharton, the weight room is connected to the coach's office. So for all the, thankfully it was a bigger school, a 5A school. So we had, so many of the biggest programs in the country had, were coming through that building to look at talent. And Coach Phil Parker, who's actually the DC right now, 17 years ago, he recruited me in 2004. He was the defensive backs coach. Sure. And he was the guy who recruited Florida. So he's coming through the weight room to try to talk to our head football coach. And to do that, I'm the only one, for some reason, I was the only one in the weight room that day. And I was benching 315 for a set of 10. And that was enough to get his attention, 18 years old, 17, 18, I was pretty strong. So that got his attention. He asked for more tape. And I also happened to, my defensive line coach at Wharton played for my defensive line coach at Iowa. Sure. So I just happened to have this kind of like happenstance of being in the right place at the right time and having these relationships with people that I didn't even know were connected on their own. So I just got extremely lucky. They offered me, and my goal, I was going to take, I had an academic ride to Florida, no big deal. So I was just going to walk on there, but that was a bit of a crapshoot. And I always wanted to leave the state just to try something new. So Iowa seemed like a no-brainer. Plus, at the time, Iowa in 2003, Robert Gallery just was drafted either 03 or 04. He went number 2 overall. Coach Aiken was my defensive line coach. He had just won assistant coach of the year. Coach Doyle was there, had this incredible resume as a strength coach. So it was a no-brainer for me to end up at Iowa.
Could you meet Bob Sanders in a fight?
First of all, Bob Sanders is, for people who don't know, Bob Sanders might be about 5'8".
I know.
But Bob Sanders is the scariest 5'8 man you'll ever meet in your life. Bob Sanders has traps that start at the base of his back and go up to the top of his head. I met this man. So he was done at Iowa a year or two before me. So we never were teammates together, but he'd come back. And everyone talked about Bob with such reverence, and rightfully so, and such a good dude, too. Like, he was always super cool. And it's a shame, man. I wish his career in the NFL, I wish he was able to stay healthy, because he was an absolute missile at his time at Iowa and with the Colts and in the league. But nah, Bob is the scariest 5'8 man you'll ever meet.
I ask about him because he is my favorite Iowa player of all time. Him and Brad Banks. Brad Banks was also incredible.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Heisman Trophy this year, okay? we ended up getting Bryce Young, the Alabama quarterback, who put up great numbers and finished the season strong. So it was easy to see he was going to win. He ended up winning. Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end, Michigan, finished second. How'd you feel about a defensive guy, defensive end like that, finishing all the way at second? Did you think that was deserved?
Wasn't that a strange year for the Heisman?
It was an incredibly strange year. Like, there wasn't a leader until like week 11 or 12.
Right. I thought it was going to be Kenneth Walker for a while. And then he just kind of, Michigan State kind of fizzled a little bit. Yeah. And he didn't put up big numbers. So I'm okay. Like, I think first of all, I just don't want it to be a quarterback award every single year. Are we going to name the best player in college football or the best offensive skill player? I mean, because that's what it's become. So I was cool. Aiden Hutchinson had an incredible year. He was a guy who had a great year last year, but he was a guy with a ton of potential who didn't necessarily have the numbers. And then this year he had the numbers and he played fantastically. He was just a menace against Iowa. I want to say he had something like 15 or 16 pressures against Ohio State. Which I don't know if I've ever heard of pressures being like that many pressures in one game. So I was definitely okay with it. I think he had a great year, and I'd like to see some more parity with the Heisman stuff because it's quarterbacks every single year it seems now.
So earlier this year, you're at the top. You're on top of the world in WWE. You're a WWE champion. This has been an incredible year for you. But I know one of the thrills had to be when you got to go back to Iowa City. Game day was there. You introduced the team. You guys had a big day there, right? How was that?
Yeah, a big noon kickoff, just so I don't offend any of those great people. The people at Fox.
You know, Biggie, I don't work for Fox.
Right, I understand. Okay, all right. it was really cool. So actually the night before, so I ended up going back Friday, and the very first thing I had was a dinner. We had a dinner in town. And I'm, as a huge college football fan, mind you, like college football was probably my first love ever. And I'm sitting at a table and Rob Stone is the host and he's there and all the crew of Fox. But I look around, Reggie Bush is sitting right next to me. And at one point we're having this conversation about like lifting weights and, the Triller fights. I'm having a good conversation with Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, everyone is incredibly cool. So for me, I'm nerding out just as a huge college football fan. So that was incredible. But just to be able to be on campus when Iowa was in the top five, Penn State was in the top five, that energy was incredible. Legit one of the best days of my life. And mind you, I only got to see the first quarter of that game because I had to hop in a car to get to an FBO, to fly out on a charter to get to Vegas to watch Fury Wilder. And I did the intros for both Fury and Wilder that I did in Vegas a few days prior. They were pre-taped. But honestly, one of the best days of my life between Fury Wilder and Iowa. And we actually, by the time I got on the plane, I think we were down a couple scores. The game was looking a little ugly. And we didn't have Wi-Fi. And I thought we'd have screens or something on the plane. So I'm completely blind for this 2-3 hours I'm in the air hoping that we just didn't get embarrassed. So to turn on my phone and see that we actually won was pretty incredible. To see just the field covered with Iowa fans after they stormed the field was really incredible. So that was a really special day. And just being able to go back home is kind of, it feels like a second home in many ways. And the amount of love that people gave me was really dope. So definitely a really cool experience for me.
You mentioned your first love being college football. Who was your first favorite college football player? Who's the guy that you look back on in your childhood and be like, that was my guy?
Ooh, it might have been Spielman, man.
Spielman?
There was just something. I feel like I got a lot of, usually when you start your day, you'll get a Big Ten game. I feel like that noon slot for me when I was a kid was usually a Big Ten game. Right. And there's just something about, this massive linebacker who's tough as nails. I love the way he played the game, and he was like one of the first guys I remember as a star on the field.
So how'd you grow up in SEC country without ever attaching yourself to an SEC team?
I grew up a huge Florida State fan. That's an ACC team. But, I grew up at the time, Florida State and Florida. Miami, too, had its moments, too. So I was a massive Florida State fan. But, I just never they never offered me. There was no interest there. So I just kind of, took the next best offer.
Well, they didn't offer me either, if it makes you feel better.
That does make me feel much better. I appreciate that.
They didn't offer me shit. Did you play the NCAA football games?
First of all, that's my favorite video game franchise of all time. They need to quit wasting their time with – if you announce that this game's coming back, don't say it's coming back in 3 to 4 years. Tell me it's coming back and it'll be here in 6 months, all right?
What kind of announcement is that? Who announces we're doing something in 3 years?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I've heard some rumors that the engine is going to be much like Madden. which I don't want. What I liked before was it was very distinct from Madden. I don't want it to feel like Madden. I don't really, this is not a shot at Madden. Madden, you know, feel, I'm not taking a shot at Madden. Right. I want NCAA to feel like its own game. I don't want to, yes. So, and I also want, because NIL is a thing, I pray to God, put all the correct names, the correct jersey numbers. Let's quit. I don't know. So I just want EA, thank you so much, first and foremost, for bringing the game back. We all appreciate you. What, the last one was what, 14?
14. One? Came out in 2013, yeah.
That's we're a decade?
We were 8 years.
That's ridiculous. But it's going to end up being around a decade, right?
It's by the time it comes back. It's going to end up being a decade of our lives without a college football game.
And if you make us wait a decade, this better be the greatest game of all time. I'm just going to say, if it's lackluster, if it's like Madden, if we don't get the proper names, if I don't get all, 130 FBS teams, including, I want some FCS teams in there as well. This game, I need it to be incredible. I just do. Don't break my heart.
I want to spend at least 5 hours a night recruiting. I want to get upset that I'm after a 4-star in Sheboygan and he goes to Wisconsin instead and I cuss his name. But whatever. I need the game back. You need the game back. We all need the game back. We need the game back. We have to have the option feel that we had, you know. Don't get me started. But at least they said it's coming back. I feel like they're just messing with us, though, at this point.
I'm a little concerned that's the case as well, because I need some more updates. If you're going to announce it's going to be out in like 2 to 3 years, can we get some updates? Can I get a screenshot of gameplay or something? Yeah. I feel like they've been pretty quiet on that front. I think it was actually, I want to say, was there a Sua Cravens tweet? I feel like I saw a tweet where recently from him where he was talking about the fact that he heard that it was going to be like Madden, and that upset me a little bit. I think that's why I'm in this mood right now.
Well, I haven't talked to Sua lately. I'll ask him, but I don't know. You work for a company. It's not like you guys would say, hey, we're going to have a new title in 2024. That's just ridiculous.
Yes, yes. Mind you, it's all this angst is coming from a place of love. It's because I love this franchise. When you talk about spending 5 hours a night, man, I can hearken back to being in college. I remember spring break. I would go and work out, and then I would come back to my apartment and play that game all day alone. I might play 2-3 seasons in like 48 hours, and I'm not joking. That is all I would eat. That's all I would take breaks to eat and sleep and work out and play the game the entire spring break.
We would play that game until the sun hit us in the eyes. And this is not a lie. I was in college a little bit before you. I was in college from around 2001, 2003. And I would go the night, like August 13th. It was usually the first week of August, second week of August. Actually, that's mad. July. It was the first week of July, second week of July. I would go to GameStop at midnight. They would have a midnight release. And it would be me and the entire football team from Mississippi State just sitting in the parking lot waiting to get our games.
That's what we did, man.
Bring that shit back.
Yeah, man. Our whole team. If you didn't play NCAA when you were at Iowa, something was off with you. Something was wrong with you. Huge thing.
Of course, you were also in Iowa. So what else you got to do? Anyway, that wasn't fair. That wasn't right. I shouldn't have said that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong though. You're not wrong.
Couple more questions. I'll let you get out of here. So the NIL situation, well, life changing for college football players. It's a new world out there, and people are getting their money. They're transferring more than any time ever before. As a former player, you got to love seeing this. You got to love seeing the guys get what's coming to them, right?
I love it. I love it. It's a long time overdue. And if we're being honest, the NCAA, in many ways, they're doing the bare minimum, because we're not talking about taking from TV revenue. We're not talking about taking from, you know, they're just allowing, you know, sponsors and corporations to come in and give these players money. But, you know, I think a lot of people just for years and years bemoan the fact that, oh, if you allow players to make money, it'll destroy the whole system. But, man, you look at there's so many incredible stories. Look at Tyler Linderbaum, who contributed, $30,000 to the Iowa Children's Hospital. Right. There's so many of these players who are, you know, and there's nothing wrong, too, with just making money for yourself, providing for your family. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you look around, I see so many instances and stories of players doing incredible things, charitable things, raising money, which you couldn't even do. Think of that. You couldn't even raise money for charities beforehand because you'd lose your eligibility, which is absurd. So I'm glad we're at this point now. There's just so much money in college football. When I see Mel Tucker signing deals to make $9.5 million a year, there's just the money in college football is going up and up, and that's great. But if you don't allow players to get a piece of that, it just feels like the inequity grows. So I'm so glad that they're now able to get that. And I know people talk about the fact that you have guys come in who haven't even started a game and they're signing, you know, seven-figure deals. And so what, man? If the market bears it, then allow it. You know, like no one is being hurt by players making money. I think it's a win-win, and I'm happy to see it. It took long enough.
Well, I think that part about players coming in and getting money before they do anything, I think that'll fix itself. Let the market correct itself.
Yeah, it will.
Secondly, on that, I mean, WWE's out there, and they're looking at college football, and they're looking for the next Big E, the next Roman Reigns. There has to be just a, from where you came from in college football, you know that there's probably could be the next big wrestling superstar out there in college football right now, right?
Yeah, and actually WWE is actually participating in NIL themselves, so sure. It's a program called Next in Line. But yeah, man, there's you know, and there are some people who are hardcore fans who say, you know, that like, why are we doing this? But like you said, man, look at so many of the biggest stars in our industry come from college sports. And that's even beyond me and Roman. But, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin played at North Texas. Undertaker played hoops. We have so many guys who are college athletes. The Rock played at Miami. Yes. And I think there's a certain, and this is not to take away from guys who kind of build their names on the independent scene who don't play college sports, because there's so many that I'm a huge fan of. But I think college sports teaches you discipline. Man, I played in front of 100,000 people at the Big House before, you know, when I was what, like 20 years old. So, you know, it's not unfamiliar to me to step into a WrestleMania and there's 100,000 people. So I think college sports just does a great job of preparing you for something like this.
All right. So this will be my last question, unless I think of another one. Got WWE champion Big E here, and he played at Iowa back then in 2006, and he's not going to help me with my Iowa problem. He's just going to let me lay out there and die on my own.
I'd like to make it worse, actually, if I can. Yeah, I'd like to increase the slander. Yeah, I'd like to get your name just run through the mud in Iowa. That's what I'd like.
A little late for that, Big E. They tried to get me fired. Anyway, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We move forward. We talked about who you like. We talked about who you love. Big E, which teams out there do you just hate? Who just bothers you? You don't like to look at their logo. You don't like to look at their anything about them. Who do you hate?
I mean, come on,
I know you do. Don't pull this.
Man, how could I hate a bunch of like 18 to 22 year old kids out there trying to live a dream? Man, what's wrong with you?
That's not what I said. I said the team, right? You know what I mean. And you know that you hate somebody.
I mean, if you ask me, like, I feel it's a boring answer, but I'll go with like our traditional rivals like Iowa State. That's boring though. Iowa State. I can't say Minnesota because Minnesota came through for us, and it was a weird situation to be in watching Minnesota and Wisconsin and pulling for Minnesota. But PJ Fleck, they rode the boat. Ski Uma, all that. They did what they needed to do. They beat Wisconsin and got us in. So I have no hate right now currently for the Gophers because although we got, you know, things didn't go well in that Big Ten title game, but we got there. And so, yeah. So, I mean, if you're forcing me to pick one, I guess I'll go Iowa State. But, yeah, that's the answer.
That's unbelievable. Matt Campbell's never done anything to you. Never. Last question for real. This is a short answer, and this is why I'm adding it. Cincinnati against Alabama, Georgia against Michigan. We got the playoff coming in a couple of weeks, as long as COVID doesn't take care of it. Who's going to win the national title, Big E?
This is boring, but man, Bama's, they're just looking sharp again. They spent the whole season looking kind of pedestrian. They will, won't they?
And I know, it sucks.
And I didn't think that a few weeks ago. I thought they were an afterthought. I thought maybe they'll get in the playoff, but you know, they haven't looked good. They looked so pedestrian against Auburn. So pedestrian. Then somehow at the end, they find a way to win, and then they just look so sharp. How do you bet against Nick Saban, man? It's gonna be Bama. Watch. I'd like it to not be Bama. Just I'd like to see some parity. I'd like to see Michigan win it, and then I could say, oh, we happen to lose to the best team in the country.
Oh, you're gonna pull the conference stuff. You're gonna pull the conference stuff.
Look, it's not. It's gonna be Bama though. Watch. It's gonna be Bama. Much to my chagrin, I don't feel good about it.
I don't either. I hate it. They're so inevitable and it stinks. Whatever. It doesn't matter. All right. So Monday Night Raw, every Monday night, this is the WWE champion. He's on the run of a lifetime. They got WWE Day One coming up very soon from Atlanta. They got WrestleMania coming up next year. Everything is going on, and this guy is at the top of his game. Big E, talk about that real quick. You're literally on top of the world. I mean, your career has reached the summit right now.
Yeah, no, it's been incredible. But yes, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, of course, you got to watch Day One on Peacock. We'll be in Atlanta January 1st. It's the first time we've done this pay-per-view, so it'll be pretty cool to kick off the new year. But yes, it has been an incredible year. for me. So hopefully this just opens the door to do more college football stuff because I love it. I love college football. It's the best. I don't know how people walk around not loving college football. When I see college football slander, it disgusts me, honestly.
Yeah, people are the worst. But this is Unnecessary Reference. This is a college football podcast, and I hope that you enjoyed yourself and you'll come back.
I will. Have me anytime. Don't have me. Not in that way. Don't make it weird. Just put me on again is what I meant. I'm here.
Brief last thing. Just say, look in the camera and say, Iowa fans, forgive my friend Brandon Walker, and then we'll move on.
Iowa fans, continue to slander Brandon Walker. Make his life a living hell because he deserves it. Thank you.
And that is WWE Champion Big E, and that has been Unnecessary Roughness.